traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The Greg Kelly Show.
I mentioned that redemption is available to everybody. It really is. And, you know, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote like 2/3 of it, it looks like to me, the New Testament? Paul. St. Paul. Paul. Paul is all over that Bible. Is he technically a saint? I don't know if it's that. Anyway, Paul used to be Saul. And what was Saul? Saul was the most anti-Christian guy. He was militant anti-Christian. He was out there. They would bury Christians up to the head, and then they'd throw rocks at the head, kill the Christians. He was on this massive crusade against Christians. And then he literally saw the light. It was like a bolt of lightning, and Jesus is there. Saul, why are you doing this? And he became like the most devout, the most amazing. He was the ultimate sinner, and then he became the ultimate believer. Helped so many people see the way, and you can too. And I guess I was reading Timothy, 1 Timothy, and he actually says that out loud. Let me see here. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Foremost of all. He says it out loud. And it's true. He was, let's see here. No one persecuted. This is the footnote in the Charles Stanley Bible that I like so much. I need these little footnotes because I'm like, did I read that the right way? A lot of times, and there'll be a footnote and I can go to it and like, yeah, your interpretation was right. Listen to this. No one persecuted the early Christian church more zealously than did Paul, previously called Saul, before he met Jesus Christ. And no one preached forgiveness as passionately and faithfully as Paul after he accepted the Lord's salvation. The apostle received God's complete forgiveness, and so can you. So can I. So can you, James Flippin. Welcome to the studio, to the Bernard McGurk studio. We miss Bernard. Bernie, what's going on?
Yeah, well, so a lot of stuff going on, obviously, around the city. This Friday deadline is looming for the Columbia protesters to clear out of that lawn where they've set up camp.
What time?
I think it's after it crosses over into midnight. I think it's, you know, once we hit Friday on the calendar.
You know, it was, it's been extended now 8 times by that weak and complicit president. Her name is Medusa Shafik.
Manoush Shafik.
And she is in way over her head, and she's obviously playing footsie with the haters, but everybody can see right through her. Now everybody wants her gone. Conservative Republicans want her gone. The radical terrorist-loving people want her gone. The Jews want her gone. Everybody wants her gone. Want her gone.
Why does the radical left want her gone? She's not doing enough to support
the radical left, that she was too anti-Hamas and anti-professors who said supportive things about Hamas at the congressional hearing, right? So, you know, I guess it's a complex job. And then you got the academics to worry about, the professors. I mean, oh, that's the worst job in the world to have in the world as a university professor. Everybody's a prima donna. Everybody thinks they're so smart. And a lot of them are pretty smart. And then you got nitwits all over the place and self-important people. And oh, my God. And then she's got to go down to Capitol Hill, ask their questions, but worry about whatever. She forgot that people were watching. Mm. She thought, okay, if I can just tell Elise Stefanik what she wants to hear, mm-hmm. what I think she wants to hear, I'll be scot-free. Well, everybody was watching, and everybody's mad. I'm mad. I don't like her. I think she has failed the students miserably, and it might be because of her own prejudice, but we won't know that. I understand Congressman Donald Payne died.
He did.
Who's Don Payne? Who is he? Where's he from?
He's from Newark. He's a Democrat. He's been in Congress, I think, for 6 terms.
Hmm. These members of Congress just don't have you ever heard the guy? Honest. Be honest.
Of Donald Payne? Yes. But he was.
Well, you're a Jersey guy.
Right. He was either is, or I think he, because it changes all the time with the redistricting, but I think he was actually my congressman at one point.
All right. Well, feel terrible that he's gone. Feel terrible that I
said that part out loud. I mean, I'm sorry, but no, there are a lot of members of Congress, 435. And, you know, they go down there and they get very frustrated. Man, there are so many of us. You know what I mean? It's not as special as they were led to believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have to introduce themselves wherever they go. You know, it's not like they're, you know, I don't know.
Actually, there's more news concerning members of Congress because, you know, you're not big on congestion pricing. Josh Gottheimer, who's a Democrat in New Jersey.
No, I saw him on the Good Day show. I'm like, what is this guy doing here? I don't want to hear from him. Talking about an initiative. What is his initiative?
It's something I can't fully. I'm going to have to check up more on what it is, but it's something about bringing further regulation from Congress on top of the MTA. So in other words, the MTA wants to take all this money. These members of Congress say that there should be more federal regulation, I guess, of the MTA.
More federal regulation of the MTA. Well,
don't quote me on that aspect of it. I'm going to get back to you on what the particular details.
This guy's running all around trying to get publicity, and nobody can figure out what his idea is. Not even you, right? Right?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I know he opposes congestion pricing, but...
Well, you know what? These guys, he's not in a position to actually do anything about it. That's what I've realized about most members of Congress. When he comes out with this proposal, it's not about actually getting anything done, because he can't get really all that much done. It's about, hey, I'm Josh Gottheimer. I'm on television. You know? Yeah. Remember me at election time.
I saw that the Speaker of the House is supposed to visit Columbia. So, I mean, again, like, what's that going to do?
Well, you know what? He's in New York anyway. I don't fault him for going up there. I fault him for the $60 billion throwing it all over the place and telling, I mean, look, you can have money for Ukraine, but talk to the people. I don't think we have been consulted enough. Joe Biden has not even tried to justify this kind of spending. And, you know, every time I heard about the national debt, my eyes glaze over, right? But I don't know, I'm of a certain age now, and I'm like, what in the hell? We're hemorrhaging everything. And, you know, we're walking like we're a superpower, but we ain't no superpower anymore. Sorry.
And spending a lot of money over there in Ukraine. I can't remember the last time I heard about any sort of attempt at peace or some sort of a ceasefire.
And what is that guy still doing in that sweatshirt walking around the palace? He lives in a palace, yet he wears a T-shirt. I mean, you wear a T-shirt at bedtime or something like that, but he's walking around. It's disrespectful to us. It's disrespectful. I don't like it. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of the war. I want that, like Trump said, I want the dying to stop.
Mm.
You want to hear why Trump is being prosecuted right now?
Sure.
Justice Kavanaugh, when he was a nominee, he summed it up. Remember when they were going after him?
Oh, yeah. Well.
Really, really hard and coming up with that Christine Blasey Ford nonsense. What a goofy woman that was. I mean, I think they made her look goofy on purpose. Remember, she looked like, who were those guys from the movie Wayne's World?
Yeah, she did, kind of, the goofy, Garth.
She just looked all stupid and weird on purpose, to make her look more sympathetic. So after she makes her outrageous and should never have been aired allegations, you just can't do that in life. You can't come forward. 40 years ago, this guy did something to me. Okay, any evidence whatsoever? No. You can't do that. And to give her a national platform and we all stopped and watched, thank God Kavanaugh made it. And I remember he was going on about all the references he had, right? From Yale, from President Bush, from all these people, right? And I thought, if that guy goes down, what's going to happen to me? Because I don't have letters of recommendation from Yale. You know what I mean? And then he's like, I'm good friends with all of these women. I'm like, once I'm done dating, I don't really stay in touch. You know what I mean? I got to remember that people are listening sometimes. This is Kavanaugh all mad, and he's right. This is righteous anger, and all the things he points out is what they're angry about Trump over. Go ahead.
This whole two-week effort has been a calculated and orchestrated political hit, fueled with apparent pent-up anger about President Trump and the 2016 election, fear that has been unfairly stoked about my judicial record, revenge on behalf of the Clintons, and millions of dollars in money from outside left-wing opposition groups. This is a circus.
Damn straight. You hear all that stuff, revenge for the Clintons, bitterness about 2016, and that's what's happening in this court. That is definitely what's happening in this court. I've downloaded the transcripts, and I'm looking at this dweeb. What's his name? Matthew Colangelo. You want to hear what he sounds like again? This is the prosecutor of Donald Trump. This is the guy who made the opening argument. Hey, how many lawyers are there? Eight lawyers at the prosecution table. They have two for a murder. Two. Eight guys. You think this isn't political? All right. Let me hear Matty Colangelo, who just runs around the country chasing Trump. Listen to how high a position he had 3 years ago. Go ahead.
On behalf of Attorney General Merrick Garland, let me say that the Department of Justice and the Environmental Protection Agency are excited to co-host this event together. The only thing better would be to be with you in person. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that next year.
See how he speaks up for the Merrick Garland? And next year, he's already working for Oliver Rank. All right. And not that there's anything wrong with this, and it has nothing to do with why I don't like him. Doesn't matter. Does your gaydar go off a little bit with that voice?
It's funny.
Did
you
it cross
say
your
that.
Mind?
No, I mean, look, I think that the way that people, it's funny you bring up the idea of gaydar, because I feel as though, in my experience, you can't necessarily base that off the way people talk or sound or whatever. However, it does often lend to aspects of their personality when they kind of sound a little bit more meek, a little bit more ineffectual in the way that they kind of command their words.
Well, apparently, this guy's pretty effective in the courtroom. And I want to reemphasize, it doesn't really matter. I'm just curious. You know, it's like, you know, does he have red hair or is it blonde hair? You know what I mean? It doesn't really have anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
But it's one of the things, you know, you notice is if he were like really super skinny, I would notice that. And if he's really super fat, am I doing a little tap dancing here? Yes and no. I mean, I actually feel like it's a fair question. And like fair question as to, like, for instance, I want to know where the guy went to college. Now, I know he went to Harvard Law School, but no biography I can find shows where this guy went to college. There's very little about his personal life, and everybody has a personal life. Everybody has something. Where'd you go to high school? Who are you? Whatever, you know?
And the implication being that his identity politic could be influencing where he's coming from on some
of
this stuff.
No, actually not. What his liberal roots, definitely, and working in such close proximity to two, oh, by the way, heterosexual guys, Merrick Garland and Joe Biden. It doesn't matter. Forget the sexuality for a second. No, it's like, where did he come from? Like Jack Smith. The first time I heard Jack Smith, who the hell is Jack Smith? You Google him. There are 10,000 Jack Smiths. Jack Smith is going after President Trump. After he leaves the Justice Department, Jack Smith goes to a junior position in Tennessee. Just like this guy. What is that all about? So I'm looking at his opening argument here. And he, you know, is very articulate, of course. But the case he portrays is an incredibly weak one. The defendant, Donald Trump, orchestrated the criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election, that he covered up that criminal conspiracy by lying in his New York business records over and over again. In June of 2015, Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the presidency of the United States. A few months later, he invited his friend, David Pecker, to a meeting at Trump Tower here in Manhattan. Mr. Pecker was the CEO of a media company that, among other things, owned and published the National Enquirer. Michael Cohen was at that meeting. He worked for the defendant as the defendant's special counsel at his company, the Trump Organization. And those three men formed a conspiracy at that meeting to influence the presidential election by concealing negative information about Mr. Trump in order to help him get elected. Now, three guys sitting in a room, and one of them works at, let's say, a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
There are such things as friendly newspapers. This newspaper is generally seen as friendly to candidate X. The New York Times would be seen as friendly to Hillary Clinton or friendly to Joe Biden, right? You see that all the time. The New York Post would be, you know, friendly to John McCain. May he rest in peace. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that every single newspaper in the country is going after Trump, trying to hurt him and protect Hillary, and later protect Biden with the laptop. Oh, there's no laptop. That's suppression. None of it is illegal.
Right.
It's not illegal.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that some of the reporting surrounding this case has been focusing on, again, if it's of the more maybe right-leaning persuasion, you know, what is the crime? You know, what's the inherent crime? If you're signing a non-disclosure agreement with somebody, that's not disallowed by the law. You can do that. for any number of reasons.
Now, one thing they will not be able to prove is that Donald Trump knew about the arrangement. They won't be able to prove that. It looks to me like they don't have evidence of that, other than Michael Cohen's word. Now, keep in mind, Michael Cohen was recording things left and right, but he didn't record that. They're going to point to evidence that on the day the check was written or the day the agreement was, they had two phone calls. He's the fixer, right? I mean, it's just, let me see here. Oh, and you know what they really get off on? Calling Stormy Daniels a porn star.
They do.
You ever notice that anybody who's in porn is always a porn star? Like, aren't there some, like, extras in porn?
Porn character actors?
Like, I mean, you know, there are people who are in movies that are not movie stars, right? Porn camera, right?
Right.
It's always a porn star. And Stormy ain't no star. Oh, listen to women. Women don't like Stormy. Stormy likes women, by the way, but that doesn't matter. They don't like Stormy. I'll have that when we come back.
Greg Kelly.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
All right, so part of this is Stormy Daniels, the porn star. She comes forward with this crazy story, and they think it's just going to be totally earth-shattering for Donald Trump. And most people just kind of, meh, whatever. And, you know, we've been living with this stuff. It's 6 years ago. 6 years ago, Stormy Daniels went on 60 Minutes. They sat down with a bunch of women, Trump supporters, and got their reaction to the 60 Minutes story. And it didn't make a dent. They're still Trump supporters. Go ahead with 27, please.
It's way too much.
On Palm Sunday, these conservative Christian women gathered in Dallas to watch Stormy Daniels' interview on 60 Minutes.
She was shopping her story for money. Exactly. Just like all the other people that have tried to make money off the Trump name.
What was your first impression of Stormy Daniels?
I feel sorry for her. My heart hurts for her.
This is a porn star. Why are we giving it any credibility?
Exactly.
And the fact that she now wants to come out with a story because she's afraid of her children? My goodness, would you tell the kiddos about your full-time job?
These women all voted for Donald Trump. And despite Stormy Daniels' claims, they still don't buy her story.
Why would she come out and give this interview if she wasn't telling the truth?
Money, more attention.
Based on this interview, do any of you believe that Stormy Daniels did have sex with Donald Trump?
I don't believe it because I haven't seen any hard proof. Should we believe the president of the United States or a stripper porn star? I go with the president of the United States.
Yes.
Most in this group believe God ordained Donald Trump to be president and stand by him despite his imperfections.
I know that when I voted for him, I wasn't voting for a choir boy.
He had to change as a person in order to become a president. Stormy Daniels, if you... The lifestyle that she's leading right now, I mean, I wish she would turn her life over the way...
I love these women!
You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
So those women were so good. Not buying Stormy Daniels' story there. I love them. I love them. And did you notice the snide tone from the reporter? These so-called Christian women have no problem with it. Got a few more seconds to go. Keep it going again. These are women reacting to Stormy Daniels' claim that she had an encounter, sexual, consensual, by the way, alleged encounter. I don't think it actually happened, but with President Trump. Go ahead.
And as some strongly suggested, all part of a media plot to bring down Donald Trump.
Yep.
You can throw all of that stuff up in our face as many times as you want, but that means that we will work harder for Trump. Is that not so, lady?
That's correct. This is the media defining the narrative. The people, we the people, are ready to define the narrative. And it's not about tawdry sexual peccadillos.
In order for somebody to come forward, you can be pushed by somebody else,
correct.
Right? And so I think the thing is you're looking for a way to impeach my president that I worked very hard for.
I'm asking you about a Stormy Daniels interview on 60 Arkansas, Minutes, period. That's it.
And about that so-called hush money, these women don't see Trump's fingerprints on it, only his lawyer, Michael Cohen's.
Maybe he thought he was just doing a favor to try to quash some negativity.
Mm-hmm. Right when they were starting
the campaign. Even though it didn't even happen, just to get rid of the story that's not even true.
Which would also follow suit that non-disclosure was unsigned, because Trump may not have known about it at all.
Worst case scenario, if he slept with her, whatever. That's between him, the Lord, and his family.
Exactly.
That is not about the job he's doing in running our country, in which he's doing an amazing job.
Randy Kay, CNN, Dallas.
Wow, Randy, you're so dismayed. Well, I love it. I love every moment of it. They are so wise. They see through it all. Random women in Texas, they totally get it. Do you, Debbie? Hello?
Yes, Greg. Yes, Greg, I agree with them. I've been studying the Bible for about 26 years, and as far as your question about Paul being a saint, according to the Bible, a saint is described as someone who is a believer in Christ. There is no program you have to follow. It is just a believer in Christ. And when the letters are written to them, they write letters to the saints, and that means that they are the believers.
All right.
And I'm one of those so-called Christians that believe in Donald Trump also.
Yeah, hey, the thing with the saints, though, I guess it, I mean, let's face it, there's a little bit of room for interpretation of the Bible. The Catholics, there is a process, right, to become a saint and all that stuff, right?
Well, that's a religious thing.
Yeah.
That's a religion.
Yeah.
It's not in the Bible. There is no process to be a saint. It is a believer that is called a saint.
All right,
now,
I'm a saint. I'm a saint. You're a saint. I'm a saint. We're saints.
That is correct. There is no qualification other than being a believer if you read your Bible correctly.
Whoa, did you just slap it down? Did you just slap your hand down?
I sure did, Greg.
Well, listen, I'll just say one thing. I love it. I love it all. There is some room for interpretation, right? I mean, look, biblical scholars get together all the time and they debate these things. And is this text written by this guy? Is it written by that guy? Is it 44 years AD or 22 years AD? There's a lot of stuff that they still debate and talk about and discuss, just like we're doing right now. And it's totally fine. Fair enough?
And redemption, by the way, has no qualification either but being a believer, because the guy on the cross next to Jesus did not qualify for anything. All he said was he believed, and Jesus said, today you will be with me in heaven.
Yeah, paradise. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Such a gift. And I love it when folks like you call and I have the opportunity. You know, sometimes we only talk about the faith when we sense it's under attack or something like that. But it is it's the most awesome gift, and it's available to each and every one of us. And I think we should share it when we can, and not just when we're under duress. You know, I mean, that was me for a while. I used to only think about church or Christianity when somebody made fun of it, to be honest, and that would get my Irish up. But day in and day out, I kind of took it totally for granted. You know what I mean, right, Debbie?
Yes, but our faith is ongoing. It's a life. It is not a circumstance.
All right. Excellent, Debbie. So appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that, I want to introduce you guys all. Well, he needs no introduction. Christopher Wray, the director of Friends of Biden Incorporated, the FBI. Unbelievable what happened to that organization, that once great organization, now does political chores for Democrats. And they screw up all the time. Also known as FBI, forgetting basic instructions. Also known as forever botching it. Look at this slimy, shifty guy, Christopher Wray, total swamp creature. I busted this guy in a couple of lies before, by the way. Busted him. Wide open. Busted. Busted. He should be held in contempt of Congress. Shouldn't even be an FBI director. There shouldn't even be an FBI. You got to start all over. Listen to this worm as he talks to Lester Holt last night. They have a special arrangement with NBC News. Comey. Comey loved the limelight as well. Christopher Wray, FBI director, sits down. Well, there's a Trump appointed. Oh, God, don't get me started on that. Trump appointed. The swamp came to him with four choices. Pick one. Can you imagine what kind of presidency it wouldn't have been? It would have been if they hadn't tried to sabotage it every single day. Cut 26, please.
Have you ever seen a threat environment quite like the one we're experiencing?
As I look back over my career in law enforcement, I'm hard-pressed to come up with a time where I've seen so many different threats all elevated all at the same time.
Hey, stop!
Time, whether it-
you know, career in law enforcement, notice that? He tries to make it sound like he's some sort of a cop. Spent most of his career in the private sector. Yeah, making millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. My career in law enforcement. Guy doesn't know anything about being a cop. Guy is not a grizzled prosecutor. My career in law enforcement. And this is all changing the subject from his vile stewardship of that once great bureau. Targeting ordinary citizens. Lying and saying that white supremacy is somehow a threat to American democracy. Pretending that Antifa is just an idea. We don't have to worry about Antifa. It's just an idea. The more I think about this guy, the angrier I get. And I guess I'm about to get a whole lot angrier. Go ahead.
The threats from China, Russia, Iran, the terrorism threats, both foreign terrorist threats and domestic terrorist threats.
Among his pressing worries, says the FBI director, is the spillover from the Israel-Hamas conflict.
So we thought that even before October 7th, if you and I were having this conversation then, we would have said that the terrorism threat was already elevated. But post-October 7th, it's gone to a whole nother level.
There's an environment right now we're seeing play out on some college campuses, the protests over what's happening in Gaza. Are you watching that warily?
Well, of course, demonstrations themselves are not something that we, the FBI, get involved in. But when violence ensues, that's when we get concerned, when you have threats of violence. And so we have seen, even before October 7th, we saw a significant increase, especially in anti-Semitic threats and anti-Semitic violence.
Are you actively monitoring these protests?
We don't monitor protests, but we do share intelligence about specific threats of violence.
Stop! You don't monitor protests. You shifty B-word. Oh, my God. You don't monitor protests. You infiltrate protests. You disguise undercover agents as protesters. So that's not monitoring a protest. You follow protests. You guide protests. You might even incite protests. But you don't monitor protests. Shifty. Very shifty. Keep going.
The verge of passing legislation that would essentially ban TikTok if it's not sold. You've talked about this. Many in the government have talked about the threat of TikTok. Can you be specific about what your fear is?
TikTok, for us, represents a national security concern. And the reason
I'm sick of this guy. I already know all about the TikTok debate. I do. And yeah, it is rearranging things, and it can't be banned totally. You can't take it. No, they don't have the power to take it away. They don't have that power. We're not set up like that. Hey, one thing also we're not set up for, evil people in government. We're not set up for that. You can go back. Our founding fathers said repeatedly that the whole damn thing is contingent on ethical people being in these roles, being in government. If you have bad actors, it doesn't work. And that's one of the reasons why it feels like everything is crumbling. Right, Barbara? Hello.
Hi, you're exactly right. The founders said that so many times, that if we're not careful of who we elect and we don't choose good people, that we will soon have corrupt justices, corrupt legislatures, corruption in every area of our government. And that's exactly it. We have not been as vigilant as the founders knew we had to be.
We got to do more. What else is on your mind?
Well, I heard what you said earlier about Trump saying we need a victory too big to rig. And that brought to mind, I'm looking at truethevote.org. I've been looking at their site for a couple of days. They have things there that each one of us can do. It's an amazing website. You go to truethevote.org, you click on engage, and you can go to any county, any state in the country, find out who to contact there in your county, no matter what party you're in, Republican, Democrat, Independent. It's good for everyone. They have the information for everyone. But you can find out what you can do, what they need, how to be a poll worker, how to check to make sure that you are registered and that you're registered.
All right. We trust this True the Vote thing. We trust it. I mean, it's not a bunch of Lincoln Project people. This is the real deal.
Oh, this is the real deal. They've been around for a long time now, and they are nonpartisan. They're very well respected.
Okay, truethevote.org. Catherine Engelbrecht started the organization. I'm going to check her out. But, Barbara, your endorsement means the world, and we can do a lot of things. It's all right there. Pretty cool website here. All right, Barbara, truethevote.org. And thank you for telling us about that. What's that? What do you want to say?
Oh, I was going to say it is an amazing effort by this woman and the people who work with her. After she started this website many years ago, the government came after her, her husband. The IRS persecuted and prosecuted them. So you know that they started out doing the right thing. Otherwise, the government wouldn't have been out to destroy them as they did. But they have survived, and the site has grown, and the volunteers have grown. They do amazing, amazing things.
I see it right now. Yeah, you're right about this. They've been through a lot. All right, truethevote.org. It's the very least we can do, Barbara. Thank you. Be right back.
Greg Kelly. Is the Greg Kelly Show.
Hey, that was pretty funny. Eric Adams getting hassled on the plane. I don't agree with the lady, but I don't mind seeing Eric Adams get hassled. What a playboy coming back from Miami. Stuff going on in the city. Who else was like that? Oh, yeah, de Blasio. Remember, always taking weirdo vacations to Italy, elsewhere. What's his name? You know, he becomes the mayor. He's mayor-elect. This is how you know he's not a serious person. He spent half of the time between the primary and the general. And let's face it, he had a leg up in the general. We all voted for Curtis, right? But we knew it was going to be an uphill fight. He had a reasonable chance to believe that he was going to win at Eric Adams. And he went off on a trip around the world. And not to like promote New York City. Hey, we don't need to be promoted. People know who we are, where we are. That's what Governor Murphy does all the time. He's flying off to Japan and China to promote New Jersey. Well, believe it or not, they can figure out New Jersey there as well. And there is something called Zoom. These politicians, they get in it for all the wrong reasons. For the perks. For the perks. I don't need many perks in life, to be honest. I really don't. I'm not into luxury. I mean, I'm into being comfortable, but I don't need much. I love my cell phone, my family, nice clothes. Got to have a cool car. You got to have a great apartment, and you got to have a beach house too. That would, maybe a shell. Okay, I like stuff. I guess we're all kind of materialistic creatures to some degree, and we need that because that's how. I mean, that's how things kind of get done. That's how we got to keep making. I mean, God made us. Oh, by the way, I got a beautiful message from the Gastineaux. Greg Kelly, keep it simple. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus loves you. Blessings from Joanne Gastineau, the wife of football legend Mark Gastineau. One of the first times I talked to him, I was really thrilled. Hey, Mark Gastineau, aren't you in the Walk Like Egyptians video? And he's like, I sure am. For a nanosecond, that was you, right? Yep, that was me. Out at Hofstra, where the Jets used to practice. All right, we are wrapping up. And with that, Sandra, hello.
Oh, hello, Greg. I wanted to tell you about this ad that they're running on Fox News, like in the morning, Fox, like Morning Joe, and the morning, you know, with the Fox News people, Friends of Fox. I don't know the name. But anyway, this is a very vicious ad against Trump. And they show people, they cover half of your face, and you're going on interviews in different retailer stores, and they'll ask, and you'll say, listen, I did this, I kind of had sex with a porn star, would you hire me, or I basically played around with documents that were classified, would you hire me, and I attempted to overturn
I heard
the
about
election.
This, it's a nasty ad, but what are you going to do, you know? I mean, really, what are you going to do? Hold on. I mean, this is politics, right? They make nasty ads about you. I mean, it's a given. We know that they're going to do that, you know?
Okay.
I mean, we do it on theirs. We do it against them, too. Granted, this is all unfair and fake, but, you know, they're going to be nasty ads.
But what troubled me was the person who proposed wanted this was, he was his name. He's a political director of the Republican Voters Against Trump.
Yeah,
I
all
didn't
right.
even know.
Yeah, of course. They got the Lincoln Project. They're all kinds of swampy Republicans, uniparty people who want Trump out. You know that, right?
Well, now I know it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a big thing. It's a big thing. It's a horrible thing. Hey, politics is a horrible, nasty business, unfortunately. But it's necessary. You got to have politics. And I don't like how people demonize the word politics, even though it is pretty crummy. You need politics. That's a deep state trick. Thank you, Sandra. Susan.
Okay, yeah, that was great what Barbara mentioned, but you can go on now. Laura Trump and the new Donald Trump's choice for the RNC.
I really can't hear what you're saying.
You can't?
You're on a special phone?
No.
All right, try again. Something
okay,
about Laura Trump.
Just go on Volunteer RNC, the new people in charge. You can easily volunteer there for many things, and then you can go on and join, and just by any kind of donation.
All right, I know. We know how to do it. We know how to use the internet. I can't really hear you too well. I'm sorry. There's something with, maybe it's my connection. Susan, thank you. Yeah, get involved. Get online. John in Massapequa.
Yeah, how you doing? Israel has so many enemies. Where do they get their oil from?
I don't know. Why are you asking me?
What? I don't know. I thought somebody might know.
You've been on hold trying to ask me that question? Where does Israel get their oil from? I'll tell you what. I'm going to check the computer, and it's going to take me less than... Israel imports oil from two majority Muslim countries in the Middle East. They're not mentioned here. Oh, and the African nation of Gabon, or Gabon, G-A-B-O-N. All right. I'm not your personal Google. All right. You can find this stuff out. Bring something to the table next time, John. I still like you. Mimi.
Hi, Greg. Nancy Pelosi supported the fund for Congress people who committed like sexual harassment, other. They didn't go into a jury, and there were 17 million cases in the 1990s. And
I don't think there were. I know what you're talking about. There weren't 17 million cases. There weren't 17 million cases. But yeah, they had this like class action slush fund, just like you said. I think it was $10 million, and they handed it out. Absolutely no transparency. Just like a lot of things there at Congress, they hook themselves up, they get themselves out of trouble, they play by their own rules, and it's an absolute abomination. It really is. And you know who was the best on this? A guy, a Democrat, by the way, a guy named Conyers. I learned a lot of this from him, documentaries and such. He was one of the leading critics. I also think they had to use some money to settle certain issues that he may have had. All right, Mimi, thanks for reminding me about that. Everything good? Good. Well, folks, that is it. Wasn't that fun listening to Ike, Eisenhower, and Kennedy? Law and order. Kennedy knew what had to be done, right? Right, JFK?
Yeah. Well, you see, we got to get order up there, and that's what we thought we were going to have.
President, please, why don't you teach you give an order to try to remove Mayor?
How can I remove him, Governor, when there's a riot in the street, and you may step out of that building and something happened to him? I can't remove him under those conditions. Let's get order up there, then we can do something about Mayor.
We can surround it with plenty of officials.
Well, we've got to get somebody up there now to get order and stop the firing and the shooting. Then you and I will talk on the phone about Meredith. But first, we got to get order.
First, we got to get order. JFK on the phone, badgering appropriately a governor about disorder and crime on campus.